Bibles up to Ezekiel chapter 33. We're going to be starting in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 33. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword came, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require on thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
Billy, just finished leading us in a song that, as he said, was Bill Whitley's favorite song. When we lose loved ones, birthdays, and holidays, especially the first one, are some of the most difficult to go through. This will be the first holiday season. Bill's birthday was the 28th day of December. Mine's the 28th of December. And we always shared a lemon pie on our birthday. It was either going to be a lemon or a pecan. We're going to miss that. But one day, we're going to have the biggest celebration you have ever seen.
Amen, Brother Steve.
The topic of our study together is titled, A Watchman for Israel. The text of Scripture that we're going to be using this morning, as well as tonight, is taken from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9. And Ezekiel is using an illustration given to him by Jehovah God to deliver to the people of his day that they could very well relate to. They knew exactly what watchmen were for. Generation after generation of Israelites had seen these watchmen placed around the walls of the cities for their safety. And they were skilled to be able to know and look and see any problem that was on the distant horizon. And they were to blow the trumpet, make the sound, to alert the people that they could defend themselves and to protect the people from safety. The Jewish people had a three-night watch. In other words, they divided the day into three sections. For example, in Exodus chapter 14 and at verse 24, it was on the morning watch that the Israelites saw Jehovah God's providence cause the chariot wheels to run off, dig into the sand and the mud as they were trying to go through the Red Sea and overtake the Israelites as they were on their way down to Sinai. It was on this watch that they saw the waters sweep back in and wash these chariots up on dry land. In Judges chapter 7 and in verse 19, Gideon blew the trumpet of God in the middle watch as he called upon the soldiers to go to battle against the Midianites. And then the psalmist David said in Psalms chapter 63 and in verse 6 that David used the night watch for peace and quiet, to be able to pray to Jehovah God, to study, contemplate on His Word. So the Israelites knew exactly what Ezekiel was saying when he called upon them to be watchmen for Israel. Now we learn in the New Testament that the Romans, once they took over, they used a little different approach. They divided their day into four sections. And remember, if you will, in the book of Mark chapter 13 and at verse 35, Jesus said, "Watch you, know not when the master of the house comes, at even or midnight, or at the cock crowing, or on the morning watch." In Matthew chapter 14, it was the fourth watch, the morning watch, that the disciples were on their ships fishing early in the morning, and they see the master teacher, the prince of preachers, coming to them, walking on the water. So one can see why that Jehovah God chose Ezekiel to be a spiritual watchman for the people. Oh, they were in captivity, some of them were. But they needed someone to let them know what type of spiritual condition they were in. In our day today, under the law of Christ, under the New Testament, elders in the body of Christ are considered watchmen over the flock. They're considered to be protectors of the faith as they overlook the sheep of the flock. When you stop and think about that tremendous responsibility as it was read to Ezekiel and as it applies to us today, elders should arise every morning at sunrise with great fear and trembling, lest they should fail to feed, to clothe, not just a few, not just half or three quarters, but every sheep that's in their flock. Maybe we need to be reminded elders and shepherds are not spiritual bankers that their sole responsibility is to tend over the money or the bank account. Nor are we coaches that call all the plays and sit back and watch the players do their work. The Hebrew writer reminds us in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews that the elders are to watch for the souls of the sheep. Now, as we get into that particular text of Scripture, we're going to look at it a little bit more tonight. But though it's an awesome responsibility, the Hebrew writer says there's some responsibility that falls on the sheep also. That as they watch for the souls of the sheep are to live in such a way that they'll not bring shame upon the elders or the master teacher, the Son of God, who left heaven and came to this earth and died for them on the cross of Calvary. In other words, the Hebrew writer said, you know, you shouldn't think about doing anything other than bringing joy upon those that watch after your soul. And you would never want to bring grief on their part to break their hearts. Think about our sins and how we transgress God's law. Does our heart really bleed? Do we really realize when we sin that we're transgressing God, that we're breaking a covenant and a contract that we made with Him to walk in the light as He in the light? I think there's an excellent lesson in this section of Scripture, verses 1 through 9, that kind of teaches us how God deals with mankind in general. Notice how many different times the prophet Ezekiel has heard Jehovah God cry out this verse. Son of man, speak to the house of Israel. In this particular section of Ezekiel, the prophet is about to enter a completely different aspect of his ministry. Oh, the people were now all in captivity. The people now could clearly see that they had been listening to the false prophets back in Jeremiah's day, and that they turned their backs on Jeremiah's message, God's message. And they were paying the consequences of their sins. They were now all facing 70 years in Babylonian captivity. And then, after the captivity was over, Cyrus would raise up the Persian king, sign a decree, let them go back home. And a remnant would go back, but oh, what an awesome job they would have. What hard toils they would face rebuilding the city, the temple, and the walls, and all the years that it would take. When we come together tomorrow night, and if the weather is permitting and we study in our Bible study, there's an interesting section of Scripture that I've kind of put together, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I. It's why did God choose to pick the number 70 to use in regards to their captivity and their return after the captivity? Why did the number 70 come up? Well, Ezekiel was living in a time when he was now going to be able to speak to these people, and they would listen. They were now realizing, well, maybe we have been wrong. You know, they were offering every excuse under the sun as to why they were in captivity. They said, well, it's our father's fault, it's our mother's fault, our grandfather's and grandmother. It's God's fault. He hasn't been a fair judge. It's everybody's fault other than our own. And Ezekiel said, Ezekiel now cries out and he says, the wicked are going to perish. The wicked are going to die. It's that clear. It's that simple. And then he goes on and he says, your God, Jehovah God, who created you in His own image, He's not willing that death should come upon you. He takes no pleasure in seeing a wicked person die. He has no pleasure in having to pronounce to a devil's hell on the day of judgment someone who has made the choice to neglect God's law, to turn their back on God and live an ungodly, unspiritual life. He said, I don't take any pleasure in that. He wants you to turn from your evil way. Remember, if you will, the Apostle Peter says something similar to this in the New Testament. He said, Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that beautiful to know how God deals with man? And to know that we were created in His image, and that He's got a message for us to know and relate to, that He doesn't want the wicked to die in their wickedness. He wants them to listen to God's watchman. He wants them to take to heart the message that God has to redeem His people. That's the reason we've been studying this Bible. Because we know that if we study this Bible, it is a book about God and His nature.
Amen.
And His nature is He doesn't want any. He doesn't want the wicked to die in their sinfulness. It's a God, it's a book about sin. And we know from studying this book that Isaiah said that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that He cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that He cannot hear. It's our sin. It's our iniquities that separated us from God, and He does not want the sinner to go on unrepentant. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel goes on in Ezekiel chapter 33 and in verse 11, and he says, why will you die? And we can kind of relate to that. Those of us that have gone through this Bible some 2-3 times, and we've studied through what the Bible has to say about sin and redemption, we can think and relate. Why would anyone want to live a sinful, ungodly life? Why would anyone want to die? Because of what a false prophet would try to tell them. Why would anyone want to believe a lie and go to a devil's hell? Why would anyone die spiritually? Why would they not care how they live and the decisions that they make. It really makes us aware of how smart, how conniving, how evil Satan can be. And how in our society today, how he's working. Oh, he doesn't take a vacation. I don't think he even sleeps at night. He's working diligently to try to convince people today, just like they did back in Ezekiel's day, that it's someone else's fault. It's not your fault. Oh, we've got a horrible virus, and you're just going to have to die spiritually while this virus is going on. You're just going to just kind of separate yourself from the fellowship and the love of the saints, and you're just going to wither up and die spiritually. Because all this virus is so scary, and it's so horrible. And it is. But does that negate our responsibility to not trust in the Word of God? To not believe the Word of God? Not to live by the book of inspiration? Those people neglected it back then, and they were about to pay the price. Remember, if you will, in the book of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 7 through 9, John the Baptist saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptismal service. He was baptizing people for their sins, the remission of their sins. And he saw these Pharisees and Sadducees coming. Well, they were the religious of the day. They were the elite. They knew the law. And old John the Baptist looked at him coming and said, "Oh, you generation of vipers. You generation of vipers. Why have you come to this service? You need to be bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance." You see how God works with man? He doesn't want anyone to die in their sins. And he sends watchman after watchman after watchman, like John the Baptist and others, to cry out to Jehovah God and to cry out his message to the sinner. Remember, if you will, in John chapter 8, beginning in about verse 31, going through chapter 44, Jesus speaking in his day, and he said, "If you continue in my word," listen to that, "if you continue,"
if,
"stay in my word, you shall know the truth." Oh, Jesus, you mean I can know your will? Jesus, you mean to tell me I can understand this book we call the Bible that talks about the ugliness of sin and redemption and how to be forgiven of that redemption? He says, yeah, it'll set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But oh, this generation of vipers that John saw, that they were still around in Jesus' day. And they challenged the Messiah. They challenged the fact that he could set someone free. And they beat their chest. And they said, "We be Abraham's children. And we don't need anyone to set us free. We've got Abraham's blood in our veins." Just like those of Ezekiel's day that didn't listen to the spiritual watchman of their day. Jesus said, If you're Abraham's children, why are you here? To nail me to the cross of Calvary? Why are you, if you be Abraham's children, are you denying that I am the Messiah? Why do you seek to kill me? And that is exactly the reason they were there. They weren't there to even consider listening to what he said. They were there to try to trap him. They were trying to gather up enough of evidence to get the Roman government to join with them and crucify him on the cross. Notice, if you will, also back in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 13 and 14, he told the people of his day, he says, I tell you what you better not do. You better not trust in your own righteous deeds. What was he saying? What do you think he meant when he says you better not trust in your righteous deeds? I think we have people today in the body of Christ that have never completely recognized what repentance is really all about. What being born again truly means. But yet they believe that they can be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Live like the devil during the week. But because they drink them a little grape juice on Sunday morning and break them a little crumb of cracker and put it in their mouth. Oh, that's what was going on in Ezekiel's day. You see, they were living like the world around them. But oh, when the appropriate time came, they would run down to the temple with their sacrifice and give it to the priest and offer it on the altar. What was going on? What was wrong? Praying for the fruits. Excuse me. Worthy of repentance. Talking to a gentleman many, many years ago. He said, Preacher, I want you to know. I got a habit. I want you to know I'm trying to break it. But said, my grandmother did it. My grandfather did it. My mother did it. My daddy did it. And I've done it most of my life, says, I just can't help it. I cuss like a sailor. And I can't stop it. Yeah. You can.
Yeah.
If you bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. We also get the opinion, I think, we have all the best intentions. We have all the best intentions that we're going to do it tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to do different. Tomorrow, I'm going to start reading my Bible. Tomorrow, one of the hardest things I had to do and learn. I wasn't raised in a praying family, so I can relate to what that guy was talking about. Some people say, oh, I'm going to learn to pray tomorrow. I'm going to come to church faithful tomorrow. Or I'm going down into that watery grave and I'm going to come up a new creation in Christ. Tomorrow. We think We're going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. We're not. The Apostle Paul told these Christian brethren in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, receive not the grace of God in vain. Receive not the grace of God in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to learn to pray. Today is the day to learn to practice New Testament Christianity.
Amen.
Today is the day to die of sin and be born anew and come up out of that watery grave of baptism. And when that takes place, the Hebrew writer says, as he was trying to encourage the Hebrew Christian to repent and remain faithful and not go back under the law, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, exhort one another daily while it is yet today. You can't imagine the people that's out there that says, when the virus is over and the vaccines are out, I'm going to come back to church.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to be faithful. No, they won't. No, they won't. They won't come back until they repent. They won't come back until they see sin as it is. They won't come back until they realize that it's them, not somebody else's fault. It's them that need to repent. It's them that transgress God's law. What a beautiful story it is about God explaining to Ezekiel, here's your job, my man. You are a spiritual watchman for the children of Israel. What an awesome responsibility he had, but what a beauty it would be to see all those that would hear, believe, and repent of their sins and follow Ezekiel and God's word. What a beautiful time it is today to see people when they hear the gospel and see the truth of how God can set you free from it. And they come forward, repenting of their sins, confessing the good name of Christ, and dying to the past world of sin, and trying to mold their lives in accordance to His will. What a responsibility we have as individual Christians to bear with them, to love them,
yes,
to wrap our arms around them. Oh, yes, they'll make mistakes. Yes, they'll say things that you may not like that it's just not right. But oh, as they grow and as they mature and as they... you see that spiritual harvest taking place, then we see redemption.
Amen.
And its grace. We see redemption and its beauty. Yes, elders have a tremendous responsibility to be watchmen over the flock. But folks, we the flock have a tremendous responsibility also, because we all have to watch and we all have to share the beautiful message of the gospel to a lost and a dying world. If you're in the audience this morning and need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why not take the opportunity as we read in this song by Billy?